Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Divya Swag Ambaralipa. I'm just changing myself. Ratna Bharana Bhushita Danuk Shule Shucharmasi Shankar Chakra Gadadara Siddha Charana Gandharvair Apsara Kinar Rora Gai Uparito Rubalibi Stuyamani Namabravit. The goddess Durga was decorated with flower garlands, smeared with sandalwood pulp, and dressed with excellent garments and ornaments made of valuable jewels, holding in her hands a bow, a trident, arrows, a shield, a sword, a conch shell, a disc, and a club. And being praised by celestial beings like Apsaras, Kinnaras, Uragas, Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, who worshipped her with all kinds of presentations, she spoke as follows. King Maya Hataya Manda Jata Koluta Vantakrit Yatra Kova Purva Shatrur Mahimsi Kripananvita. O Kamsa, you fool! What will be the use of killing me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has been your enemy from the very beginning, and who will certainly kill you, has already taken his birth somewhere else. Therefore, do not unnecessarily kill other children. Okay, now we chant together number 13. Iti prabhashya tam devi.
Iti prabhashya tam devi.
Maya bhagavati bhuvi.
Maya bhagavati bhuvi.
Bahuna maniketeshu.
Bahuna maniketeshu.
Bahuna ma babuva.
Bahuna ma babuva.
Iti prabhashya tam devi.
Iti prabhashya tam devi.
Maya bhagavati bhuvi.
Maya bhagavati bhuvi.
Bahuna maniketeshu.
Bahuna maniketeshu.
Bahuna ma babuvaha.
Bahuna ma babuvaha.
Iti, in this way, prabhashya, addressing tam, kamsa, devi. The goddess Durga, maya, yoga maya,
Bhagavati,
possessing immense power, like that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhuvi, on the surface of the earth. Bahunama, of different names. Niketeshu, in different places. Bahunama, different names. Babuva, became. Indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. After speaking to Kamsa in this way, the goddess Durga, Yogamaya, appeared in different places, such as Varanasi, and became celebrated by different names, such as Annapurna, Durga, Kali, and Bhadra. Purport. The goddess Durga is celebrated in Calcutta as Kali, in Bombay as Mumba Devi, in Varanasi as Annapurna, in Cuttack as Bhadrakali, and in Ahmedabad as Bhadra. Thus, in different places, she is known by different names. Her devotees are known as Shaktas, or worshippers of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas worshippers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself are called Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are destined to return home back to Godhead. In the spiritual world where the Shaktas are destined to live, whereas the Shaktas are destined to live in this material world to enjoy different types of material happiness. In the material world, the living entity must accept different types of bodies. Brahmayon sarvabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. According to the living entity's desire, Yoga Maya, or Maya, the goddess Durga gives a particular type of body, which is mentioned as a yantra, machine. But the living entities who are promoted to the spiritual world do not return to the prison house of a material body. Jyoktva deham punar janmanaiti mam iti sorujuna. The words janmanaiti indicate that these living entities remain in their original spiritual bodies to enjoy the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental abodes, Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. So, this is the origin, at least for the current age, of the worship of the Supreme Goddess, the Mother. Of course, that worship is eternal. She is eternal, and she eternally has many devotees. But this is her appearance for the, you know, at the just before the beginning of the Kali Yuga, and her, let's say, a revival of her worship is going to begin because of her appearance as the sister of Krishna. As we said the other day, we shouldn't have any hostile feelings toward the worship of Durga. When Durga is worshipped in proper relationship with the Supreme Lord, the gopis are worshipping Katyayani only in connection with their service to Krishna. In the holy Dham, Lord Mahadev in Shiva Linga form, and Goddess in her own temples, like Manasi Devi and others, are serving as the protectors of the places of Krishna's pleasure pastimes. Again, in connection with the Supreme Lord. But this Shakta religion is not a bona fide religion. It's, although it is promoted in some of the Puranas, but those are Tamasic Puranas. It is not a proper mode of worship when Durga, rather, when the Shakti, the energy, is taken to be independent. This is, any worship of any demigod is independent. It's condemned by Krishna. What is it? Those who are less intelligent worship demigods. You can honor demigods as Vaishnavas, and you can ask for their help in serving the Supreme Lord. But when you take the servant to be independent master himself, then this is erroneous. If I am doing business with a company through its agent, and I tell the agent, why don't you just supply me directly? You know where to get the things. And I'll pay you, you know, I'll pay you something less, and you'll make a profit yourself and put it in your pocket, and we'll both profit, and hell with your company. You know, hell with your employers. We'll just go into business ourselves, you and me. That is illegal. That is cheating. He's come to you as the agent of the company, and then you want to do business with him on an independent basis. Then he's violating the trust that the company has put in him, and you're acting unfairly as the customer. Like that. We're unfair customers when we go to Goddess Durga and try to deal with her as if she was independent. It's erroneous, because she isn't. She's not willing, type, or to betray the faith of her employers. And if we try to flatter her in the name of Mother, 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 actually, the worshippers, the Shaktas, are not actually thinking, actually having the attitude of Mother. They want to enjoy the material energy. Now, this is illicit. Most worship of Prakriti is really with the attitude of enjoying Prakriti. So when we want to enjoy a woman, we're trying to enjoy Krishna's energy. It is offensive in its very nature for the Prakriti to try to enjoy the Prakriti. And the worship of Shakta is just the same thing on an even grosser level. You may say, do it in the name of Mother, but actually you're trying to enjoy an illicit relationship with the person you're calling your mother. Therefore, the Shakta religion tends to be abominable. It's abominable in its practices. Its philosophy is very unsubstantial. Whether or not it's glorified in the Devi Bhagavat Purana, in the other Tamasic Puranas, that is okay. You know, the idea that Goddess Durga is independent, that may be promoted in some Puranas. But actually, if you really look carefully, you'll find that Puranas in generally don't say that any demigod is completely independent. Even though it gives you evidence to think like that, but it usually doesn't explicitly say in any Purana that Shiva or Durga or anybody is separate, independent, Supreme Lord. You may even see the pastime of Lord Shiva defeating Lord Nrsingadev in battle in the Shiva Purana. But that is a game, a pastime. Krishna, when he's playing with his friends, he can pretend to be defeated. And especially if doing so helps confuse the demons. That's another one of Krishna's sports, is confusing demons. So the demigod is allowed by the Supreme Lord to seem to get the upper hand. And it's recorded in the Puranas that glorify those demigods. Oh, they've defeated Vishnu. They've subordinated Vishnu. But that's just Vishnu's game. His game to enjoy with his devotees and to confuse the atheists and the demons. So this Shakta religion, and actually all materialistic modes of demigod worship that don't properly their relationship with the Supreme Lord, are shams. They're intentional facades created by the Supreme Lord's own illusory energy. Illusory energy, who's that? Subhadra, Yogamaya. She has her two aspects. She arranges for the pleasure of Krishna's pastimes by putting the devotees in a transcendental kind of illusion. And she does that especially in Vrindavan. Yogamaya is the supreme deity of Vrindavan. And in the material world, her material expansion is bewildering everyone for other purposes, for material purposes, to keep them entrapped, to help them in their pursuit of material desires, to help them create their fantasy existences in which they can become great and powerful without Krishna. And so, one of those ways that she does that in the material world is to help demons have materialistic ideas of religion. All these materialistic religions, all these materialistic philosophies are being actually promoted by Yoga Maya in her material aspect. And that's... anyway, historically, after speaking to Kamsa, that's when Durga got down to business and expanded herself and appeared in many places. Prabhupada lists some of the big modern cities where Durga worship is very popular. And he mentions Calcutta first, because that's hotbed of Shaktism in Bengal. Historically, it wasn't before. This is a new phenomenon, 200 years old maybe. This very great prominence of the worship of Kali, you know, with her red tongue sticking out. You see her face all over Bengal. But it's a new thing. Certainly 500 years ago, although there was, you read in the Howan Navadri, but that was a very materialistic city. Kali and other demigoddesses were being worshipped very prominently. But the Shakta religion, as it's prominent nowadays, especially under the title of the teachings of Ramakrishna and Vivekananda, this is new. This is a new turn. Just as the communism wasn't there, 150 years ago in Bengal, also the Shaktism wasn't there in the big scale more than 200 years ago. Now the British brought their tea and coffee and railway trains, and about the same time the Shakta religion was introduced in Bengal on a big scale. And it's not only in these big modern cities, Calcutta, Bombay, those two cities didn't exist before the British came. Of course, Varanasi did exist forever. It's an ancient city. I don't know about Ahmedabad. I don't know the ancient history of Ahmedabad. What does it have a Sanskrit name, the city? Ahmedabad is a Muslim name, but I don't know if it existed. If it's an ancient city or not, I don't know. But there are many other. Every little town has got their devis. Every little town all over India. So she's worshipped everywhere. And this is Krishna's blessing on her that she'll have so many devotees. We should show her respect. We should show respect to all the demigods as servants of Krishna. But we should not participate in the materialistic worship. We may visit the temples to see the deity and to give our association if anybody wants it. But one thing is that one rule is that you should not accept the prasadam, so-called prasadam, of a demigod if it hasn't been offered to Vishnu first. Then it's not proper prasadam. It's not been offered properly, and we should not accept. It's actually a rule in Vaishnava sadhana not to accept demigod prasad unless it was somehow offered to Vishnu first. So therefore, that puts something of a restriction on our freely visiting demigod temples, because we have to refuse to accept prasadam, which is, that's embarrassing. So we may have to just avoid going into the place to avoid that aparad. The aparad is to accept a prasadam, but it's a social mix-up if you have to refuse to accept something offered to you. Okay, any questions or comments?
Maybe if some temple they're offering directly to Shiva, like before the offering to Vishnu, is it like offering also like Shiva is also like considered like the head of Sampradaya, so he can offer this to the...
You have to inquire from those who are running the worship, how they think they're offering it. If they say, just like in Jagannath Temple, they offer it to Vimala Devi. Oh no, she gets the prasada after it's offered to Jagannath. Is that it? Which temple, Lingaraj?
Yeah, they offer using the Gopal mantra.
to Lingaraj.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they understand.
Okay. Yeah, it makes a difference what the person's doing the offering, what they think they're doing. You know, it's more than the external ritual is the sankalpa. So you have to inquire from those who are actually in charge of offering what their intention is. If they're intending that they're actually offering it to Vishnu, then okay. But if Vishnu's left out of the picture, then we can't accept the prasadam. And it's not that you are, you know, that it's Durga Prasadam and Vishnu is taking the Mahaprasadam of Durga. You know, that's okay, he can take it, but you know, then we don't touch it. We can't just take anything and anything, everything in the name of Prasadam. Yes? Yes. I wouldn't accept prasadam from Mayavadis, even if it's offered to Krishna. I wouldn't make a habit of it. It is Krishna prasadam in a way, but you know, Krishna's not satisfied with Mayavadis. Who knows if he accepted it or whether he, you know, spat it out or threw it on the wall. Yeah. Who knows if Krishna actually accepted it? What is he, you know, Krishna's not inclined to accept anything from Mayavadis. So it's very doubtful what kind of prasadam it is, even if it's been just offered to Gopal, Venu Gopal or somebody. Yeah. But is Venu Gopal actually there in that statue when it's being worshipped by Mayavadis? I don't know. I mean, is he actually accepting any offerings? So, I don't know, maybe once in a while, if somebody with great respect offers you the prasadam of Venu Gopal in a temple where he's worshipped by Mayavadis, then okay, but I wouldn't make a habit of going there every day to get the prasadam, because you're going every day for a dose of Mayavadi contamination. I mean, sometimes we have to associate with Mayavadis, but you know, we're doing it for our preaching service. Thing is, why are we going to temples? Just as, you know, as an excursion for sightseeing, or is it part of our service? What are we going there for in the first place? Wandering around, you know, aimlessly, poking our nose in all sorts of temples. What's, you know, if we're just wandering around enjoying ourselves, maybe we're supposed to be doing something else, using our time for something more useful. And then we may get in trouble just wandering around. Yeah. To say, you go to people's houses, if someone's a preacher, And his engagement is to go to, you know, people's houses and make them into devotees and life members. And he eats in their houses. But then he gets in the habit of just going around socializing just to get something nice to eat. Then he's in trouble. You know, he just hangs out and, you know, has all his friends, all the houses he goes to, and he's just going there to talk and eat. And where's his service? What happened to it? Oh, he shouldn't go around, you know, the demigod temples just to get some Mayavadi prasadam.
Many of the low bridge vasis, you know, they say, you know, oh, Krishna is not important, Radha is important. They worship it mostly,
they worship Radharani without Krishna?
I mean, they just chant Radha and, you know, they say, okay, Krishna gets all his help from Radharani.
Okay, so, you know, now you're, so the question is what should be our attitude toward them, or whether we should accept their what?
No, I mean, generally, but
well, I mean, we understand that they're anyway, in our sampradaya, we're not supposed to do that. Ever worship Radharani by herself. We shouldn't have hours and hours of just Radhe Radhe Kirtan. Prabhupada didn't like that. He didn't like having pictures of Radharani by herself on the altar, you know, or just by herself. And those who do those things, that's okay. I mean, it's their realization. We understand that it's not really proper. Lord Chaitanya is not satisfied by it. So who are they serving by doing that? Under whose guide, under whose direction are they worshipping Radharani separately? Maybe they have some sampradaya in which that's what they do. But where did that sampradaya come from? Didn't come from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's not in favor of that way of doing it. Yes, Lord Chaitanya considers himself a dasi, a servant of Srimati Radharani. But he doesn't leave Krishna out of the picture. Ever. And neither do the bona fide followers of Lord Chaitanya. So they may have a sampradaya in which it's just the Radhe Radhe sampradaya. But where is that coming from? It's not coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we can respect them and be friendly with them, but we have to be a little careful. Of course, they're not connected with Lord Chaitanya properly. You cannot trust anybody who is not a proper follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the basic rule in dealing with everybody. If they're not, if they don't have faith in Lord Chaitanya, you can't trust them. You can't trust what they believe, what they say, what they do. I'm sorry, Machi Prabhupada was waiting for it. Is that the Radhabalabha Sampradaya? And they're big in Vrindavan, they own a lot of property. Bankim Bihari Temple is the big temple in Vrindavan, and that's their temple. Radhabalabha Sampradaya. And he went and got reinitiation from Srimati Radharani directly.
Yeah.
And he promoted this.
Yeah, he's pretty lucky in certain ways. There's a story that one time he was working with his trainer party paraphernalia, and something happened, and the Tulsi blew off and the front shell fell off. So he decided that this is a sign from Radharani, but these things shouldn't be used in Gujarat.
Conch shell and Tulsi Patra?
Yeah.
They don't believe in a cut. So, okay. Anyway, we can be friendly with them, but they're off.
On the other hand, maybe certain first persons, they maybe are worshiping with such a conception that Radharani is the supreme quote of the thing, Krishna is just.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just they may say things about about Krishna in comparison to Radharani, but they're just being playful. But in this case, in this sampradaya, that's their doctrine. It's Radhabalabha sampradaya. This is
Vallabhacharya was a follower of Chaitanya. There is some reference that he chastised
him. Yeah, he's a follower, but in his he's an internal associate of Lord Chaitanya, according to Krishna's Kaviraj. But in his pastimes, he apparently deviated. He started his own sampradaya. And he predicted that his followers would become nonsense within 500 years. Yes.
What did he predict?
That his followers would become deviant within 500
his
years.
Followers.
Yeah. Anyway, I heard that. I don't know. Is that true?
It's true already.
Well, they're anyway. Okay. Not to get into that. Yes, sir. Lakshmi and Saraswati are. Lakshmi is a daughter of Durga? How's that? Okay. Okay, I guess in some incarnation, Lakshmi appears as daughter of Durga.
I don't know
how. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So I just want to know, like, what is their constitutional position? Like, Durga, like, what Shiva, is the Shambhu Tattva? So what we should consider Durga as?
Durga is, just as Lord Shiva is a separate category. He's not Vishnu, he's not God, and he's not a finite jiva. He's infinite, but he's in contact with matter, so he's not absolutely pure. Infinite, absolute, but not absolutely pure. Similarly, the counterpart, as the counterpart of Vishnu is Lakshmi. Lakshmi is the original Shakti Tattva. Shakti is infinite, as God is. But Shakti is subordinate. It's a female counterpart. The energy. The original spiritual energy is Srimati Radharani and the Lakshmi expansions. And then she has her material counterpart, which is equivalent to Lord Shiva. So there's material Shakti Tattva. That's, you know, Mahamaya and all her expansions. It's the category is Shakti, but the Shakti category has two sides, the spiritual side and the material side. Well, yes, but when Krishna says it even goes back further. Krishna is the origin of everything. As Baladev, all the spiritual worlds, including and the jivas, expand from Lord Baladev, whose expansion of Krishna. So Krishna can be traced back all the way to the origin, the bija pradapida of spiritual existence also. And then, yes, as the material progenitor, he's doing it through the agency of Lord Shiva. Yes. No, but that's correct. Yeah. Yes.
So they are expansions for the Durga. They are actually flagged out to some related deities.
I think in most cases they're factual. You know, maybe a deity may be misrepresented. To the extent that it's misrepresented, you can say it's not an accurate, but it's still it is Durga. I mean, if you make a deity of Krishna and make it wrong, you know, you present Krishna in some way he doesn't actually look. Instead of giving a peacock feather in his head, you put something else on his head. You know, then it's a misrepresentation of Krishna. You're dressing him wrong, or even the sculptor has fashioned him wrong. But it's still Krishna. So these deities, even if there's something wrong about them, you know, in the appearance or in the way they worship, still it's Durga. It may be a slight misrepresentation of Durga, but all these village deities are mostly Durga. Because that's her power, that her worship and her devotion to her is spread all over in every village. Material energy is all pervading. So she's the power, she deserves to be worshipped. So yeah, they're bona fide, but they may be, you know, the way they're presented, their appearance may be something wrong in that. Masipu? Yes. There's a Mumba Devi that originally was the presiding deity of some village. You know, there were seven villages, I think, that were incorporated together to make the original town of Mumbai. It's just some villages that happened to be on, you know, on the location they picked out. You know, it was up, you know, in a protected bay, and they thought it would be a good place to establish a city. And there happened to be some villages there, and one of the villages was the village of Mumba Devi, and that's where they got the name from.
What I heard, like,
Vasu Mishra,
yeah, we told like before was Mumbai, and then Britishers came and they were not able to pronounce Mumbai. They start Bombay.
Yeah.
This feeling.
Yeah. Yes. That's you know, that's the history, but why they called it Mumbai, because there was a village.
Yeah,
a village named after Mumba Devi, who was the presiding deity of the village, Mumbai. I guess Bai is like a sister in Marathi. Yeah. Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, but that may be a neologism, or a word created to make, you know, turn something back into Sanskrit. Maybe it's a creation. Kolkata. Again, it's a name of some deity, village deity, and they just happen to build the city on top of that village. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Can we stop here? I'm from. Okay, thank you, Oba, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.